I'd like to have you look at the first 8 verses, if you would, please. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble and said, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 8, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Every 8th verse has got that. Or not every 8th, but 7th, like, as it says in number 7, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, I wasn't going to look at these, but we'll go. Says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And we see in verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. David probably wrote this, I'm not sure about it. But the thing is, all that men would praise the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about this junky junk, junking all over the pews and so on. Like,
amen.
You give praise to God.
Amen.
Father, we come before thee. Lord, we live in a world that is not very thankful about anything. And Lord, we forget to be thankful to you and praise you. Lord, this is not Thanksgiving time. Like we say at Thanksgiving, we need to give thanks. But we need to praise the Lord. We need to praise you. We need to let you hear our happy voice. Help me to preach in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What a confrontation would be come to all who had answered to the prayers would speak out. You know, we ought to praise the Lord.
Amen.
But we don't most of the time. Oh, I didn't get what I wanted. Oh, this or that or whatever else. You know, we Americans have so many things to give thanks for. But we don't give thanks for. You say, preacher, this isn't Thanksgiving. No, I've never preached this one for Thanksgiving. And I don't intend to do it. But we ought to give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness. Oh, we see that a grateful heart is one which will, which the fire of the holy love is kindled. Are you in love with God?
Amen.
Do you have a sweet tooth to read the riches of the Bible? You say, well, I don't know the Bible very well. And, well, let me just say, you can start with Psalms, right? And then, but I usually tell people, if they've not read the Bible, take and read the Gospel of John.
Amen.
First. Then we read the book of Romans. Then come back and start in Matthew. And I know the genealogy is there in chapter 2. One. Okay. My brain doesn't want to work all the time anymore. But, you know, you don't have to try to pronounce all those names. Matt, he can do it all. But, you know, we don't give much praise to the Lord. But we should praise the Lord. And so it is, we see all these things and so on like this. Now, my notes in the Bible doesn't say there who wrote Psalms 107. But it says, "O give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O let the redeemed of the Lord say so when thou hast redeemed him from the hand of the enemy." Excuse me. "And gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Boy, I'll tell you what, that covers every direction, right? Not letting one person out. We ought to praise the Lord. I'm not talking about this jumping around and everything else. I'm talking about giving good praise unto God.
Amen.
And you ought to be able to tell what, I mean, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, thank you, God, for what you did. I got out of bed this morning.
Amen.
I got a good night's sleep. And my wife didn't kick me too many times. No, I just threw that in. I'm the one that's a kicking, right? But we need to thank the Lord. Oatmeal again. That's what our kids didn't like. But oatmeal's good, right?
Right.
Good. Hey, there's another oatmeal. Okay. And something like that. But, you know, we ought to praise the Lord. Well, the car started. Amen?
Amen.
But we don't like when it doesn't start, do we? But we don't, at least we shouldn't cuss it out, right? There's some people that kick their tires if the car doesn't, or even hit the door of the car and everything. I've seen that happen. And something like that. But we ought to, in other words, let the redeemed, if you're saved, you ought to thank God you got out of bed. Mm-hmm. Brother Tucker at camp, we were talking one time at rest period and something like that. And he pastored in Range Lake, Colorado. He says, you ought to, before you ever do anything, before you throw your foot out over the bed to get up, you ought to have a time with the Lord for a few minutes.
Amen.
You ought to have a time with the Lord a few minutes. It doesn't mean you got to pray 5 minutes. But at least you can talk to the Lord a few minutes and get your everything situated so that you can have your brain focused on what you should have. Sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you get a call to the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. It's always Sunday. Just about, right? It seems like it. I mean, I get the calls and I go up to the hospital. And see, it was when my grandpa died. I got a call on Sunday morning about 2 o'clock, right? And I started making arrangements to go because my dad wanted me to preach his funeral. And I did get to preach it. And I asked people, my wife said, "You don't have any money to go." And it's too far to go to South Dakota. It's a 2-3 day trip just driving.
Wow.
And so on, depending on how long you can stay awake before he goes off. And something like that. But there was a guy there that he was a new grandpa and something like that. And he said, we haven't heard that kind of preaching in 30 years. They don't have anybody in Kingsbury County that preaches the Word of God. They got a Catholic church and they got another church, but they don't preach the Word of God. They've got all the other things that go along with and something like that. But Paul Ackman, he was probably about 78, about 80 at that time. He said, we haven't heard that kind of preaching since Jake was in Oregon. And boy, you know, I asked my dad, do you think I could come back here and start an independent Baptist church? He said, you might, but I wouldn't recommend it. Because the people are set in their ways.
Mm.
See, it's farming area. The biggest town is De Smith with 1,200. The rest of them are farmers. They had farms and something like that. And something like that. And it's still that way. And something like that. And I didn't get to do my grandma's funeral because my dad's two sisters were Roman Catholic.
Mm.
And they didn't want to hear the Bible. And so on. But we need the Bible, right?
Right.
The Bible is our guide.
Right.
And we need to let God work in our lives and so on. So we see that the Redeemer, Lord, say so. We ought to give praise unto the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to, if you don't know where it is, 1 Peter 1, this piece will be to you, Deborah. But 18 and 19, it says, 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But, I like this one, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The only way you can get in touch with God is have Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And he starts working in your heart to get you saved. And if you're not saved, you need to be saved.
Amen.
And we need to be conscientious of lost people going to hell.
Right.
We had a guy, I think, who came in. He sat for a few minutes, and he knew that we were not at the end of the sermon. He left. Because he's for money. And he saw the congregation we had, and he says, man, they're poor. We don't have any millionaires. There was one church that had 3 millionaires. And one pastor said, why don't you send one to me and one to this other guy? And you keep one. But there was people in the church that gave more than those 3 millionaires put together. Because they didn't know how to tithe. They give me type person. They didn't give. They could have helped out on some things and something like that. But they didn't help out. I was a youth pastor at that time, and I was up in Iowa. And so it is. But the thing is, they didn't give. All we see, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to praise the Lord. And so it is in 18 and 19, it says here, servants, be subject. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I got the right verse. No, I didn't have the right verse. Let's see. First Peter, I read that one, right, Mrs. Fisher? Okay, John 4, 34. John 4, 34. John 4, 34 through 36. It says, nope, I got turned back on. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both that soweth and that reapeth may rejoice. All we see, says in verse 37, and here in is it's saying truth. One soweth and another reapeth. You may be doing the sowing and not getting much reaping, but somebody else reaps. And so on. Bob Batshelder was pastor at a Southern Baptist church here in this town. And he told me, he says, we reap what you sow. Because somebody in their church knew and got him going to church and he got saved. But I seeded the seed into the ground. And he did not have anything to do with church. But when he got saved, he went to church every morning, every night, every time the doors were open, and so on like that. We ought to go to church. We ought to serve the Lord, and so on like that. And so we see we need to let God work in our hearts and our lives. And Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, Luke 12, Luke 12 and verse 35, it says, let your loins be girded with about, and let your lights burn, that yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he shall return at the wedding, from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, and shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet and to come forth and serve them. All we see. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch, find them so blessed are their servants. All we see that we ought to be busy doing something for God. We ought to go to church. We ought to read our Bible. We ought to pray. And we ought to pass out tracts.
Amen.
Now, I've said this over and over, but some people don't catch it. If you are scaredy cat, all you got to do is walk up on up to the door and just put it through the screen door.
Amen.
You know who they're going to call? Me. Because it's got Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Feaster on. And it's got our telephone number, right? And that gives me another chance to witness if they're not home. If they call me. And I've had some call me. But not very many because I guess when you go through a neighborhood knocking doors, you get known leaving something on the door, right? You should. You know, you never know who is going to pick up that track and read it. You never know. I had to wait for 40 years for I found fruit from one track I left. About 40 years, right? This guy, he was going to NAU at that time. So this really dates 40 years. He read that track and he graduated from NAU, and then he went to Tennessee and worked and retired. And he saw this on the desk or something, of his desk or something, I don't know. Anyhow, he called me and he said, "Is this George Feaster?" And I said, "Yes, it is." He says, "You left a track on my door 40 some years ago." He got saved reading that track. He was a deacon in the church in Tennessee or someplace. I can't remember exactly where all that was. But you know, we don't always see the results. But God is keeping the results. And so we need to be busy laboring for the Lord. Let the redeemed Lord say so. We ought to be wanting to see people get saved. And if they don't get saved, somebody else may want it. And something like this. You put tracks in your envelopes for the utilities, right? I'm just throwing out some things. Some of you don't pay utilities, right? But the thing is, you can put them in all kinds. When you write a letter, put a track in there. Yeah, your relatives may not like them. But some of them get saved, right? Eventually. Rusty, he was a guy, he was not a church goer. He didn't ever go to church at all that I ever remember. But we had a Bible school, and we had our two girls. We had Edie and Rusty sit on the couch so they could. This was the first time they were teaching. And they did their planograph and everything else and something like that. But it helped them to have an audience besides mom and dad. And we did it because we felt like that Rusty would listen. And they gave the lesson and something like that. And he never got saved as far as I know. I was teaching in Bible school or Bible college, yeah. And I go down on Monday night. And I would go by Uncle Rusty for three Monday nights. And I got to talk to him three Monday nights. Then I went over to the college to teach, Bible college. And, you know, I don't know where Rusty ever got saved. But Edie got saved. You know, the seed is sown. You never know who's going to get saved. You don't count how many you saved, you count how many you witness. If you want to count how many you witness. Usually you got somebody, well, when I was in the newspaper thing, it's every seventh house you can sell. And so we had the charge, and he was telling about this one guy. He went out and he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And boy, he took about half an hour to get the sale. He got it. And then they went back. The guy that was instructing everything said, why did you just go to the seventh one? He said, every seventh house is going to buy. But he didn't mean that every house is going to buy a seventh house. There's going to be the ones you talk to, right? And something like that. And I'll never forget that illustration. And they went back, and there was two other houses that bought the newspaper. He missed those, but he went back, and they got them. You never know who's interested. You don't know. They may be the toughest looking person around.
Mm-hmm.
And God works in their hearts so you may get saved. Oh, how can we redeem? How can the redeemed of the Lord save us? With our mouth, with our preaching, with tracts, with letters, with literature. Witnessing and telling people how you got saved.
Amen.
That's the most effective one, I think, is you telling them how you got saved. Because God starts working, and they know they're not good to get to heaven. Most people say, oh, I'm good. But when it comes right down to it, they will not say they're as good as God. Because God has never sinned. They know their sin. We want to hide when the preacher comes to our door, right? If we're not saved. But people do get saved. And you can put them on the windshield of a car and something like that. And all these things. Now, where are we to redeem the Lord? Well, to people who are on their deathbed. I've gone to many hospitals and I've witnessed to them and something like this. And I'm glad I got to see our neighbor across the way. She went into eternity. We got there, we got called. She was, well, how old? About 90? Don't remember now. But that was the first one that I ever heard, I saw, it say, was saved, and went peacefully. She put her arms on her chest, and she just went out into eternity, into heaven. She was so glad. That was the first one. I've been at other places too, but I had a guy that was with a newspaper that I've used this illustration before. And he died in Colorado Springs on the dock. And I wish I could have talked to him. He was the first one to go out. I was the second. But he died before the ambulance got there. We didn't have the ambulance like we've got now in these days. Oh, how people, literature, witnessing, daily witnessing. My goal is to witness to people to equal one day every day of the year. You got to go hunt them up sometimes if you're going to do that. But there's times that you've got them coming to the door. And so, and sometimes we talk on the phone. We had there was a newspaper in Phoenix, and they had printed our number, right, in the paper. We got 60 calls on Sunday, the first time it came out. I don't know how many times we shut off the phone. But the thing is, I witnessed to some, and one got saved on the phone, and I had one that was down in Glendale, and they were looking for a church. They were from someplace, and I recommended one church down there, And they went there. Brother Greg says, thank you for sending them our way. You know, we don't know who we're going to influence, but we need to give out the Word of God. All we see are these things. Now, where are we to redeem the Lord? Say so. To people who are on their deathbed and to people who are at their wits' end. And I already covered this being distressed and something like that. Now, when are the redeemed of the Lord to say so? When they're on a trip. I gave a tract one time going back for my grandma's funeral. And there I was with a guy that was 60-some years old. He was here, I was here, and there was a salesman. And the older guy, he wanted to sleep. He didn't want to hear about Jesus. But this salesman, he was in his early, about 25, I guess, maybe 30. He talked, and when we were coming into Sioux Falls with the plane, he slipped me about how much? $50 bill. Pretty good witness, right? Most people don't do it, but I knew he would have money on him because he was a salesman for a region up there. And he was going to see them and something like that to get them to buy their products and something like that. You know, we didn't have any money, but a guy went out and came back in and says, I'll give you $100 for your trip. This other guy gave me $100 too, right? That's everything. I had my way. I didn't have money. But it was all paid before I got home. You know, God is good. If we will let Him, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Oh, how we need. When we're on a trip, and when we're on the job, and when we're in the church, we ought to say, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. When you leave, you ought to say, I got something if the preacher's worth his steak, right? We ought to keep, and you ought to keep on praising the Lord too. We don't know what's going to happen. All we see, we need to praise the Lord. And verse 43, it says, so is the, I can't, I can't read my spelling. And so, let us all redeem the Lord. Redeem the Lord. Praise the Lord for His goodness to us.